You're listening to a Hindustan Times podcast brought to you by HT Smartcast.
Welcome to season 2 of our podcast Kicks for Free, in which we discuss all things football. I am Dhiman, and with me is my co-host Vivek.
Messi!
September 4th, 1962 is a day etched in gold, literally. It was on this day in Jakarta that India, led by Chuni Goswami, beat South Korea 2-1 in the gold medal match of the Asian Games. As we reach the 61st anniversary of an event that is not, and dare we say, will not be repeated in the near future, we took a few steps back in time.
With a little help from Gautam Rai, a man who has a day job in finance, but one whose heart is in football. Gautamda, as he is known to those connected with football in India, is a statistician who provides data to the All India Football Federation and is always a treasure trove of football stories. With him as guest, we will try and recreate the days when India lost in field hockey to Pakistan, but had the Pakistan players cheering the Indian football team.
Gautamda, yeah, hi. We are obviously talking about 1962 Asian Games gold. That was a golden era for Indian football in a lot of ways. They won gold in the Asian Games in 51, then reached the semi-finals at the Olympics in 56 in Melbourne. But the 1962 gold, it's considered the highest point for Indian football. Could you tell us why that achievement was so special in your view?
Yeah, I'll tell you. 1962, Indian football, when they started playing Olympics, they were a little out of the regular stream with the international football. Though they were invited for the 1950 World Cup, somehow they didn't go. There were various reasons, we'll not get into it. But the Indian football was still playing bare feet at that time. And that was one of the main principal reasons. And also, domestic tournaments were held in periods less than 90 minutes. So those were the reasons, primarily the reasons why Indians were lacking behind in football. And India football was an amateur status in those days. It was under the Indian Olympic Association. 1954, after India lost very badly in the 1952 Helsinki Olympics to Yugoslavia, one of the European powerhouses, the federation decided to make boots compulsory and also gradually increase the period of Indian football. Since then, India did reasonably well by finishing fourth in the Melbourne Olympics 1956. But here one should note that India's very first meeting was with the defending European powerhouse Hungary, who withdrew in the last moment, and India got a bye to play Australia in the quarterfinals. Apart from that, the Indian football under the coach of S.A. Rahim in those days was really gearing up, and there was a lot of talents coming in from various parts. And we used to have the three tournaments, IFA Shield, Rovers Cup, and Duran Cup, which used to throw up a number of players apart from other minor tournaments. So in this background, the Indian team went to the Rome Olympics, which they qualified. The only time they have qualified to the Rome Olympics in 1960. And India, though they were limited to the group stages, but they played two historical matches. Once they lost to a Hungarian team, which was filled with a World Cup side that played in the 1962 Chile World Cup, and went down 1-2 with a brilliant
goal. 1954, Gautamda, wouldn't he? The World Cup that you're talking about? And not 62.
No. 1962.
Oh, yeah, 62. Yeah. Okay.
They played the same limit of the 62 Rancagua, that Chile World Cup. In that match, the Hungarian team had 9 World Cuppers, and India went down 1-2, as I mentioned, a brilliant goal scored by Tulsidas Balaram of a Chuni Goswami pass. And later, India drew with another European powerhouse, France. Take it for granted, France was fourth in the World Cup 2 years later, but this was not their World Cup team, but it was the Olympic team. But nonetheless, India took the lead, and eventually the match ended in a 1-1 draw, with P.K. Banerjee scoring India's goal. So the Indian football under Rahim was very much on the upswing in those days. And in this background, the 1962 Asian Games were held There was a lot of controversy going to the games. First of all, the Indian Federation, the government of India, which used to sanction various teams going into participating in the Asian Games, were hesitant to send the football team, which had a number of officials more in comparison to the players being sent. Anyway, that was reduced. Eventually, a camp was held in Calcutta under Mr. Rahim and Mr. S.K. Lal, and Indian team of 16 members were unanimously selected. Naeem was one of the young players that time, was dropped from the team. The surprise of the entire 11 was a young rookie called Prashanto Sinha from the Railways, who later on, find out when he replaced an injured Ram Bahadur in the tournament, had two brilliant matches at the Asian Games. The youngest member of the side was a chap from Bangalore called Arumanagam, who was only 20, and who later on played in Calcutta for Mohun Bagan. And the eldest member was also from Bangalore, a person called Ethiraj, who used to play for Madras Engineering Group, Bangalore. But unfortunately, Ethiraj didn't have any game time in the 62 games. It was after India reached in the meantime, there was a little problem arose. The India was first placed in Group D, along with Israel and Indonesia. But the government of Indonesia refused visas to Israel and Taiwan, Formosa, and the group has to be redone. This also created a political hue and cry. The India Steve Dimission, who was also the vice president of the Asian Games, sent in a remark that the Games should be renamed as Jakarta Games and not the Asian Games. This created a tremendous uproar amongst the Indonesian government and public, who looked upon Indians as a hostile team participating. Anyway, for football, India was placed in Group B with South Korea, Thailand, and Japan. The Indian team, which I said was unanimously selected for 16, was always not hunky-dory. There was a big controversy in selection of the captain. Now, P.K. Banerjee was India's captain in 1960 and 61 Merdeka Games, 60 Olympics and 61 Merdeka Games. But somehow, back-channel talks happened and things happened behind the selection team, and Chuni Goswami was made the captain of the Indian team. Well, so far, so good. The team under Rahim, along with Rahim, reached Jakarta. But gradually, the hostility towards the Indian athletes, not only the football team, everyone was slowly gaining ground because of that Sondhi's comment. Well, India, in the very first match, played South Korea in Group A, and they missed their key goalkeeper, Thangaraj, who was down with flu. India didn't do well at all in the first match. And despite being tall, the Koreans were faster of the ball and beat India by 2-0. Rahim was a little disappointed because after 2 months of intense training, the Indian team did not have a good opening encounter. And he wondered what to do. Anyway, in the next match, India was due to play Thailand, and he made two changes. He took out Trilok Singh, the left back of the services from the team, and brought in a new player, Arun Ghosh, into the side, and even took off Afzal, who had played at the withdrawn centre-forward, and brought in Arumanagam. This had a mercurial effect, and Indian football team really turned the tide. In the first match, I'll tell you, other two players who restricted India's defeat to 0-2 was goalkeeper Barman and stopper Jarnail Singh. They were also in good form in this particular game against Thailand. And India soon scored, opened the scoring through Chuni Goswami, and then P.K. Banerjee scored and led 2-0 at halftime. This time, a critical thing happened for Indian football. Jarnail Singh, the stopper, was injured in a clash and had to be taken out and of the team and had to be put some stitches on his forehead and sent back, and he played at the forward. Balaram dropped back into the midfield line. In fact, even while dropping back, Balaram and Yusuf Khan and Chuni Goswami combined to score. Balaram scored the third goal, and P.K. Banerjee scored the fourth. Thailand could reduce the margin only in the dying seconds of the match. India took a convincing 4-1 victory to take 2 points from that game. And in the very next match, they were up against mighty Japan. Now, Japan in those days were not as strong as they are now, but was still a very strong side. They were a young, fast-moving team, had a centre-forward called Kamamoto, who later became one of the Asia's best. They troubled the Indians to a great deal, and in the first half, it was only due to right-back Chandrasekhar and goalkeeper Barman that India could keep a clean sheet. but Japan could have scored. But in the second half, it was a different Indian team. Rahim gave this pep talk in the halftime. And Balaram, Chuni and PK, with their fast interchanging of positions and even the quick short passing, scored the first goal through PK Banerjee. And then Balaram scored another blinder from a Yusuf Khan pass. And India won 2-0 to reach the semifinals. Mind you, while all these things were happening, the hostility of the fans and the crowd was gradually growing against the Indians. They were really being discouraged, you know, once and all. In the semifinals, they came against South Vietnam, who had only conceded one goal at that point of time. But India took a quick lead through Goswami, but the Vietnamese hit back to score two, including one from a penalty. But in this match, Jarnail Singh was back, this time as a centre forward. And he scored the leveler because, you see, it's a tall physique. Jarnail Singh was always a threat on this young East Asian club in teams. They had young players. Jarnail Singh would use even his body to break through.
Gautamda, wasn't Jarnail Singh also a forward in his early days before he became
known
as an Asian
DFA defender? Center half, and used to move up. Then he came to Rajasthan club, but he basically concentrated on playing defense. And he was the pioneer of India's three-back system as the central stopper. Well, this went on, and as you know, Goswami scored a brilliant goal. India won by odd goal in 5-3-2 to reach the final. The final was held on the last day of the Asian Games. Now, before that, almost every Indian athlete, because of the problem, was sent back to the country. As soon as the events finished, they were put on the plane and sent back. When they arrived at the Senayan Stadium, the entire stadium was packed, but it was extremely hostile to the Indian team. They were, barracked. Every time they touched the ball, they were booed. And of the whole stadium, only one small corner, a few enthusiastic people were cheering the Indians. Later on, it found out they were the Pakistani hockey team who had beaten India to win the gold medal only the previous evening. They were the only supporters of the Indian team. But India in that particular match all rose to each one of them gave more than 100% rose to dizzy heights, scored an early goal, as I mentioned, Sinha, Prashant Sinha, who had come into the semi-finals of the team in place of an injured Ram Bahadur, provided a copybook pass for PK Banerjee to open the scoring, and then Franco provided another brilliant from a free kick pass with Jarnail Singh scored. India led 2-0. Fortunately for India, the Korean centre back, who was also a tower of strength, was injured, but he had to catch. There was no substitution, and he was carrying on as a passenger. Koreans attacked in the second half, but this time also before that, India made one change at the goal due to not footballing reasons. Peter Thangaraj came in place of P. Burman. But then Thangaraj, who had also recovered from the flu, had a good match and saved India from a lot of this Korean attacks. He blocked them. And in defense, of course, Arun Ghosh, Chandrasekhar and Trilok Singh were playing again to a particularly woven pattern to save the attacks. Koreans could score only one goal, but India won the match 2-1 amidst great enthusiasm and heroics. But they got the gold medal. But here something happened. When they were called at the podium finish, a podium thing, Indians 11 players who played the match that day were given the gold medal. The five substitutes were not given. This created another uproar. And of course, organizers then later went to the Indian dressing room and gave the medals to the Indian team. This is the real story. And that is the hostility, the support of the young Pakistan team, and Indians' brilliant football and coach Rahim's probably last. In fact, I forgot to mention, the day before the final, nobody slept, including Rahim. They were all walking in their village. In fact, Indians' team couldn't go out of the village. As they were chatting among themselves, Rahim came and asked them, "Bacho, hame ek cheez tohfa de do, ke kal gold medal de." And the Indian team was really fucked up. That is the Indian Asian Games football.
Gautamda, you've taken us back to September 4, 1962. We are just days away from celebrating the 61st anniversary of that triumph. Now, what do you remember of that campaign? I mean, how was it followed in that day? I mean, obviously, there was no television. Were you dependent only on newspaper reports? Did you hear it on the radio? How was it like, being around while India did this in Indonesia?
You see, there was no running commentary of the match. There was no television, as you rightly said. It may have been in Indonesia, but it was not in India. we, the All India Radio, used to do a capsule program every day called The Highlights of the Asian Games, and where either Belville de Bello or Neil Butler, somebody used to go, and they, for 5 minutes, they would cover the match. So that is, it was something like Paddy Feeney doing that Sports World, Daily Sports Roundup at BBC.
Right.
It was a 15-minute program, and everybody was a little unhappy in India in those days. We were in, I recall I was in Delhi then, because India had lost the gold medal in hockey. But the football team gave us a new hope, new life. And of course, everybody was extremely happy at the performance of the Indian football team, because there was no such fan shouting. Nothing came. When the team came back at the Dum Dum Airport, there was hardly any people to receive them. There, as Chuni Goswami says, later told me that they were only given tea and biscuits at the reception by the All India Football Federation. Nothing more than that. There were no interviews, nothing, praise and nothing else. But India had achieved history. India had achieved footballing history, definitely in a golden period, culminated it because of various reasons. Rahim Saab died. The trio, the famous East Bengal, the Indian trio, P.K. Banerjee, Chuni Goswami and Balaram broke up because of Balaram's illness. And Indian football since then have not shown an upward swing. Gradually, we had the 70s against the footballers, but then there were 70s, that's another story, where government intervened to give domestic football a little more importance. And real talented Indian footballers of the caliber of Subhash Bhaumik, Mohammad Habib, Prasoon Banerjee were debarred from playing part in the international games. Otherwise, they would have, India would not have slumped so badly. It was due to another political reason. I will discuss that right
now. Yeah, state government interference, rather. Mm. Yes.
Padamna, you mentioned that the government almost did not send the football team for the Asian Games. Obviously, if they hadn't gone, would there have been an uproar? Because obviously, unlike today, perhaps the football team was quite good back then and they were doing well at stages like the Asian Games and even the Olympics.
You see, football was a very popular game in those days, next to cricket. But even cricket was not that popular because they had not at that point of time won the World Cup or the Test Series. The Indian football team had a lot of the three tournaments, as I mentioned, the IFA Shield, Durand Cup, Rovers Cup, primarily. There were other various small tournaments like Nagji, Kalinga Cup, Bordoloi, which used to draw large crowds from even from the villages. And football was really a pan-India game, and it was being followed very closely. And the Indian team, which was doing well in the Olympics, doing well in the Asian Games earlier, even in the earlier Asian Games, India finished fourth in the Tokyo Games, had some skillful players. Yeah. So when the Durand Cup used to take place, you see, now the Durand Cup has 24 teams and you are having almost 43 matches. Indian, the earlier Durand Cup used to have, I remember in the 60s and 50s, 32 teams, but they were all round bases. They were a knockout straight from the first round. And but I would get a season ticket for carrying for nearly 20, 25 days of each tournament being played at the Delegate or the Ambedkar Stadium now. You see, football was extremely popular. Had the Indian team not gone or being debarred from taking part in the Asian Games while the other disciplines went, there would have certainly been an uproar, at least in the media.
Right. Gautanda, you talk about, not much has changed really. I mean, even now we have a problem with the team going to the Asian Games for entirely different reasons. But, you know, the thing is, even the anti-India feeling that you mentioned had to do with Israel taking part in the Asian Games, right? Now, Indonesia did not recognize Israel then. Indonesia does not.
Taiwan.
Formosa. So Indonesia does not recognize Israel now. I mean, it led to the World Under 20, the Under 20 World Cup from Indonesia being shifted this year. So not much has changed in over 60 years. But do you remember there being a lot of uproar about this, you know, reading in the media or following it in the news? I mean, was there a lot of talk about how Indonesia was behaving to what was then a fellow member of the Asian Games?
Certainly, you have to go back to history. Indonesia and India were good friends when President Sukarno saved him from, Nehru saved him. But since then, their relationship had deteriorated for various reasons. Okay. I don't know. I will not. I'm not a political reviewer or something or any particular party. But I don't know. But in sports, any tournaments as such were rarely held in Indonesia in those days. It was not that they were never held. The Asian Games was fixed in 1958, the venue. So they could change it like that. And Indonesia, mind you, had a very good badminton team. And Indians used to play them in the Thomas Cup, Tanjore Hawk and others. But Rudy Hartanod much later, of course.
Yeah, Hartanod Leipziging later, yes.
They used to play in the Thomas Cup, but they used to play mainly in Kuala Lumpur or Singapore. But the Indian team against Indonesia, but Indonesia and India have met, I think, a number of times, more than 15 to 20 times in the Merdeka Football Championship. Because they were quite accustomed to each other in playing in the Merdeka Football Tournament and even at the Olympics, pre-Olympics, and the Asian Games. India and Indonesia, football team that is, used to be quite regular opponents.
Okay. Gautama, I know it's difficult to sum this up in one sentence or one answer, but what was it that made this Chuni PK Balaram thing as special as it was? Someone who's seen them in action, what made them click in the way it did?
Chuni PK Balaram's skills, ball control, interchanging opposition, shooting. But I would say one thing, if you consider the trio of Sunil Chhetri, Baichung Bhutia and I am Vijayan, if you give them equal credit, because football nowadays and what was then, football nowadays is more difficult. The defensive framework and everything. In those days, they used to play the 3-2-5 formation, where centre forward was to be the pivot for goal. That these were, PK Banerjee used to play right winger, Chuni Aina, and Balaram, either a winger or Aina. And they had basic ball control, swinging, and their, what is correct, better than them, and the current players, Chuni, PK and Balaram, their basic skills were definitely very good. If you trap a ball, they trapped it very cleanly. If their passing was accurate and interchanging of positions. But I will not able to vouch for their fitness levels as the players do it right now. Their shooting was also very good, particularly PK Banerjee's shooting was out of the world. Well, you can also compare Chhetri, Baichung and Vijayan, but then they are up against much stronger opponents. That's what I must say. Much stronger defense-wise, they have to break. In this way, Chhetri scoring so many 92-odd goals deserve the most praise. Of course, you might say that had PK Chuni and Balaram played 100 matches, PK
that
would have scored about 40, 45 goals. Because that time, mind you, scoring was much easier. And PK Banerjee would rush down like Bhoumik, if you have seen Subhash Bhoumik play, down the wings and take a shot at the goal and crash it home with a lethal right foot and even left foot. PK Banerjee thrust and everything, but you at the same time, when India played 3-2-5, apart from PK Banerjee, Chuni and Balaram up front, the India's midio and defence had Chuni, Jarnail Singh, Arun Ghosh, this Ram Bahadur, and even very talented players and a goalkeeper like Thangaraj in defence. So all in all, the Indian team was really up to the moment. Then we had Sina Franco Carrigan, Prashant Sina Franco. Even later, which was such good skills in the 60s, players like Inder Singh came into action. A player like Porimol Day, who was equally adept in skill, didn't get a chance in the Indian team much because of these other great players in the team. Ashok Chatterjee, even another player I will mention, who was extremely skillful. Kajal Mukherjee. Kajal Mukherjee, mind you, played 32 times for India in the Merdeka, which used to be India's most favorite tournament in the 60s and 70s. And Kajal Mukherjee, as a ball control player and dribbler, featured in the Indian team, and he played in various positions. He played as a centre forward, he played as a wing half, and he even played as left winger. But let's not that. The Indian team, the Asian Games under Rahim, was really at its best, team wise, their dribbling wise, their skill wise, and even the fan base. In those days, stands used to be a fact, and they used to go and cheer their favourites.
Gautama, you have written that India won 12 of the 16 games that the trio played in. Trio being obviously Chuni Goswami, PK Banerjee and Tulsidas Balaram. And also, I think they scored 20 of the 36 goals in those games. What was the pressure like on them? Was it that they had to deliver in every game? Could you take us back and what sort of pressure did they have to deliver?
Yes, Indians, the football support base and the football fans looked upon them to deliver each and every game. And they were cult heroes, PK Banerjee, Goswami and Balaram. Again, mind you, Balaram was an East Bengal player. Goswami, Chuni Goswami was a Mohun Bagan player. These two fans created the entire, they supported them. And PK Banerjee itself, though didn't play in the big teams, was also a great footballer for Bengal. And the supporters depended on these three to score goals. And they did. And they did. I remember a match against Indonesia. Again, Indonesia, it was the pre-Olympics of 1960. It was played at the Maidan ground. It was actually played at the East Bengal Aryan ground. The stands were packed, about 20,000 inside the ground. And there used to be a thing called ramparts those days. Nowadays, it's blocked. Ramparts, another 15 to 20,000 were outside the ground. And for this particular match, it was held in 30th of April or 15th of April, something like that. The build-up by the two leading newspapers, Amrita Bazar Patrika, sorry, Statesman and Ananda Bazar Patrika, took 15 days to bring out a picture of each hero of the Indian team and each hero of the Indonesian team. I remember the names like Ade Dana, Witarsa, all played for Indonesia. And India beat them 4-2 in that match. With a new youngster who's still there, new Olympian, who rose suddenly from that match, a gentleman called Simon Sundaraj, who scored two goals.
Gautam, what are your most abiding memories? You just mentioned this game against Indonesia, and it is surprising, pleasantly, to hear that newspapers built up this game for 15 days with carrying photographs of heroes. What are your most abiding memories of these three people, all of whom you knew quite well, and they may or may not necessarily be from the pitch? I mean, because you knew them as well as you did, what was your most abiding memory of these?
PK Banerjee, Chuni Goswami, and Balaram.
Yes.
They're talking about these three.
Yes.
They were very keen footballers and fans. And sporting, they were very high, very skillful. Chuni Goswami, I used to meet quite regularly in the various clubs, particularly in a tennis club called the South Club, where I used to be an equally good tennis player. PK Banerjee, of course, I had the privilege of doing an interview with him during the 98 World Cup or 2002 World Cup, I don't recall, when I was in Statesman. And he knew everything. That means even after giving up the game, he studied the game and kept in touch, not only as a coach, but even of the whole world, like keeping the updation of Indian football. And I think all two of them, all three of them did.
Balaram was a bit of a recluse, right? I mean, he didn't stay, he didn't stay in the limelight.
You see, he didn't take two things nicely in a stride. One, denial of his Padma Shri by the government. Anyway, let's not go into that. And secondly, when he used to take a junior team called the Mayor's 11 to Gothia Cup.
Sweden.
And he brought out a number of good players like Mehta Hussain, Sangram Mukherjee, Chandan Das. They were all from that Mayor's 11. He didn't get that much of support from the All India Football Federation. That time it was headed by Priyaranjan Dasmukherjee. That was due to some other reasons. I will not put it.
Okay.
Balaram also contributed, but Chuni never went into coaching that way. But Chuni used to play tennis and used to write regularly in the media.
Which is why he was more in the limelight. Which is why
he used to write regularly in the media.
Right.
And yeah, PK Banerjee, as you all know, became a very successful coach.
Yeah, of course.
Gautamda, in terms of the whole squad, would you say that the 1962 one was the best that India has ever had as a whole squad of 14 or 15 or...
I would just add to that, Gautamda. I mean, I get what Vivek is asking. If you had to just compare it with, let's say, the 1960 team, which was more balanced? 1960 Olympics team and this one, which was more balanced. Because like you mentioned, you had stars everywhere. You had Franco, you had Ram Bahadur, you had Jarnail Singh, Arun Ghosh, Pangaraj, Pradyut Barmon. I mean, they could replace one another. Arumanaigam could come in and replace. So I'm saying 62 team was very well balanced. They had stars everywhere on the pitch. Would it be the most balanced or would the 1960 team be there?
You see, the team was identical, almost. 60 and 62 team, except for Arumanaigam in place of Simon Sundaraj, whatever it is. And Simon Sundaraj was replaced by Arumanaigam, and in defense, Arun Ghosh had come in. I would say 62 team was better. But 60 team, you had, you also had very skillful players. I said an identical team, and Chuni, PK, Balaram, 2 years younger then.
Right.
And of course, they had played the Hungarian World Cup. And the 62 team played all the Asian games. You take that.
So two years younger would mean 2 years less mature than they were in 62?
They were all mature players because they were all early 50s players, 50, 55, 56 players. So they had put in 5 or 6 years in Indian football by that time. But they were 2 years younger, I would say they were 2 years fitter. but more fit at that particular point of time. But they were all three at their peak, even in 62. Right. Virat Kohli, who is 35 today, is at his peak, even when he was 29.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. I mean, you know, there is this question that keeps coming back to people who follow the sport. Unfortunately, very few are around to answer them. Why do you think Rahim Saab replaced Pradyut Barman with Thangaraj when Pradyut Barman played all the games and he was instrumental in taking India to the final? You don't do that in this day and age. Somebody who's not fit, has just returned from the hospital, will not play a gold medal game, however big the play is. But for Rahim Saab, for somebody who was as astute an observer of players and characters, why do you think he did that?
I mentioned it to you earlier in today's meeting itself. It was done due to non-footballing reasons.
Which is pressure from above.
Pressure from somewhere else. Especially from the government, who brought Thangaraj that time used to be a services player. There was pressure that he would take part in the final. He couldn't take part. He was dropped because of non. I mentioned that earlier today also.
Non-footballing
reasons.
Gautam, a bit on S.A. Rahim. He is probably widely regarded as the best coach that India has had. Obviously, all the notable achievements came under them. He was, I think, suffering from cancer during the tournament and passed away a year later, as you mentioned. He obviously had all these good players under him, but how big was his role in the success that the team had during?
He had all these good players, I agree. But he made them all good players. It was he. He got them all rookies. Early stages. Balaram, he took him when he used to cycle up for his training camp. And he didn't have money and he used to pay him 1 rupee for 4 hours for a cycle in way back in 54, 55 and took him to the Hyderabad state team. Similarly, Chuni Goswami, he got him early in the Olympics. P.K. Banerjee also, he got him early. So he made them brilliant players. It was his way of scheme. I told you, in those days, training was slightly difficult, as you see right now. But Rahim, as he would go, he used to have the training sessions at a place called City Ground in Calcutta, near the Maidan, near the that statue, Maidan monument. Sorry, statue, monument. But then he used to build up the teams, built on their reserve, built on their skills, built on their stamina, everything, and also the formation. It was his pep talks which really transpired the Indian team, as I mentioned, in the match against Japan, in the Asian Games, match against South Vietnam, and in the finals also. And even he changed the Indian teams. Now, what he said, I don't know. You have to ask the players who was there. Maybe you may ask Simon Sundaraj now. He's still alive. And what he said, but I don't know. Or Arun Ghosh.
Yeah.
If they remember, that is.
Football
had it, had its craze those days. You could see all these tournaments were very popularly attended, including one more in Delhi called DCM.
But wasn't nowadays, that much later, Gautamda? Wasn't DCM much later than
the DCM was in 50s tournament? 50s From 68, they allowed the foreign teams to participate.
Okay. But, it's obvious that he was a big motivator. I mean, whatever little I have interacted with Pradeep Da or Chunida, they would all look up to him. They were united in their respect for Rahim Saab. So, that's... But I was just thinking, apart from that respect, apart from being a motivator, he was also such an astute football mind. I mean, just the thought of playing Jarnail Singh as a forward in that in such crucial games, I think that kind of tells you about how good he was as a coach, doesn't it?
No, if you see the 62 Asian Games team squad from day one, the first match against South Korea, he was using not a regular centre forward, but a withdrawal centre forward. He had taken a regular centre forward, Ethiraj, but he didn't give him any opportunity or game time. He used Afzal in the first match, then Yusuf Khan later, and then Jarnail Singh. So he was always thinking of that 4-2-4 formation, which was already changing in the world. Earlier, during 58, when Mario Zagallo's Brazil won the World Cup. So he was also up to date and keeping in touch with the scheme, like our own Amal Dutta, was also keeping in touch with what's happening in the world.
Right. Thank you so much, Gautamda. It's been a pleasure interacting with you and recounting.
It's a pleasure talking to both of you. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you, Gautamda. Thank you for taking us back in time to a time when, recreating a time where which we possibly don't talk about enough. We are not very good chroniclers of our sport history, but thank you for taking us back to a time when India was at the top of the continent. Thank you again.
That was it for this episode. If you want to reach out to us, you can find us on our Twitter handles at Vivek9301 and at DemanHT. If you're a true football fan, you cannot not subscribe to Kickoff, our weekly newsletter on the World Game, which hits inboxes every Friday. For more updates on this podcast, follow HT Smartcast on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And to listen to more such podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com.
To stay updated on this podcast, follow us at HT Smartcast on all the major social media platforms. To listen to more such podcasts, log on to www.htsmartcast.com.